Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 8 through 10 in just a few moments. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. You know, when I listen to these words of the Apostle Paul, it comes to mind, if there is anyone who could have proclaimed, I would rather have Jesus in my life than anything, it would have been the Apostle Paul. You know, when we think about the life of the Apostle Paul and going back before his time as a Christian, we find that the Apostle Paul, and he described himself as a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He had a formal Jewish education, which was the greatest education at that time that you could have. He had a place among the religious rulers of the day. So not only did he have position, he had power as well. And as we read through the scriptures, he used that power on occasion against Christianity. But you know, we find in our writing here that he says, I gave all that up. I counted it as loss because it no longer has the importance that it once did. You know, I guess that we can all think about things in our lives that we once did or something that we once had that we thought was just the greatest thing. And now it doesn't rank as high as it once did in our things of importance. I guess we've all done that. The Apostle Paul went through a tremendous change in life when he was met by Christ on that road to Damascus, to the point that he was ready to give up everything behind him and move in a total different direction. In other words, he said on that day, I would rather have Jesus than anything else. What I'd like to do tonight is suggest to you that we ought to rather have Jesus too in our lives. And I want to suggest to you a few things that should stand out in our lives as things that are not near as important as Jesus is, things that would normally be important in the life of mortal man. But yet as Christians, they should take a back seat to Jesus Christ. First of all, let me suggest that I'd rather have Jesus than wealth. Now, you know, every one of us makes great preparation in life and goes through a great ordeal to get a good job, to make a good living for your family so that you have an abundance to take care of the needs that you have in life. Every one of us do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, and I remember so well, and I was already working at Motorola, we would get the publisher's clearinghouse. You remember those packets? And they'd become this great big brown packet. And they would ask you what color car you want and what house style you would like if they gave you a house. And would you want your $1 million at one time, or would you want it $100,000 at a time, or so much over the next 20 or 30 years? And oh, you just think about all that and you say, oh man, this is just great. It's great. And we would do everything we possibly could to fill those out and get them back. Because, oh, we're going to be wealthy. We're going to be rich. I'm still waiting for that first one, by the way, to come back. I guess I filled my first one out in 1981 and I'm still waiting on that one. But you know, wealth has always drawn us, hasn't it? It has always been an allure of men. But, you know, when you think about the wealthy, we immediately think, well, you know, wealth would solve all my problems. Well, maybe not. You know, we find ourselves, in particular, if we're young in life and we're just getting started in life, we find ourselves overwhelmed in debt. Well, if we were wealthy, we wouldn't have to worry about that, would we? Let me tell you something. I'm working on my 65th year, and I still worry about it. There are people in this room that are older than I am. They still worry about it, too. You know, wealth is not always the answers to the problems in life. It's not always the solution. You know, the Bible tells several stories of men who look to wealth as the answer to everything in life. Men like Solomon, maybe the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, maybe the rich farmer who patted himself on the back at his accomplishments and says, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Or maybe the rich man of the rich man in Lazarus, and we do know where he wound up. They all pursued wealth, and they did it at all cost. They shed aside their personal lives, their families, their belongings to have this wonderful thing called wealth. I think about the prodigal son. He gave up his family. He took from his father what should have remained his father's until another time. And he wasted it all. And we found out through his story that wealth did not take him to the end, did it? When the wealth disappeared, all of his positive things in life disappeared as well. And you know, wealth is a fleeting thing. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." And that's what happens to worldly things. Paul tells us that riches are uncertain in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives richly all things to enjoy." We can't put our trust, our faith, in these worldly things. You know, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, that being a part of the world is passing away. The world is passing away, he said, and the lust of it. And another thing, if you are pursuing wealth, you can't pursue God. Because if you pursue something, the greatest thing that you pursue is that which you will worship. That is what you will love. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Greek word for mammon is money. Paul tells us that the rich man can become entrapped because of their riches. So sometimes, not only is it not the answer, sometimes it is a consequence and can lead you down a difficult path. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, to many foolish and harmful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition." But you know, Jesus offers us something totally different than wealth. He offers us happiness. He offers us contentment. He offers us love and hope. These are things that money and wealth cannot give us. Oh, we think within our own minds, "Oh, I could be so happy if I had that $1 million from the Publisher's Clearing House." You look at the history of the people who have won that thing and where they are today. Most of them, and it's like 90%+ of all who have won these Publisher Clearing House sweepstakes, they're dirt poor within a 2-year period of time because they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it. And they let it consume them. That's so sad. Any honest rich man will tell you that they would rather have love than their dollar bills, that they'd rather have contentment and happiness, because when they gain their wealth, they are They are driven to get more and to have more. The more you have, the more you want. And then when you don't get it, you get confused about that and you don't know which direction to go in. That's the typical life of the rich man. Listen to the words of Jesus. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the peace that we get from the world, it doesn't last very long. You're going to find something else come along to bring confusion back into your life. It's going to distort your life. But the peace of God does not. Jesus also provides for us another thing, which is called salvation. And again, with our measly thinking, we think, oh, if I just had money, if I just had the wealth, all of my problems would be over. I wouldn't have any cares. I wouldn't have any troubles. But oh, how wrong they are. The psalmist David tells us, Psalm 49, 6 and 7, those who trust in their wealth and boast in their multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's just some things that physical things in life cannot do, and this is one of them. So yes, we need to have the thought in mind that we would rather have Jesus than all the wealth in the world. Jesus was offered all the wealth in the world. And I've always thought that this was the most ridiculous of the three temptations that Jesus was faced with Satan. Yeah, Jesus was physically hungry. He could easily have gotten food. He didn't need to humble himself. He knew what humility was. He was there on a humble mission. But to offer Jesus that which he created to begin with, to me, was a ridiculous temptation. We need to rather have Jesus than our will. Then we need to rather have Jesus than popularity. You know, this is something else that men will desire and will pursue at any cost. The fact is that we are social creatures by design. We desire to interact with other people, to be around other people, to associate with them and to be accepted by them and approved by them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, people are fickle. Friends come and go. The person who at one day was your best friend could tomorrow be your worst enemy. That's how friendship works on occasion. Popularity often turns people against people because of differences of thought, differences of opinion. Pilate allowed his fear of being unpopular to crucify the Christ. He feared what the people thought of him. The Bible teaches us that we are to please God and not the men that we, quote, fear in life. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? In other words, what's important to me? What my neighbor thinks of me? What the person across the street thinks of me? Or what God thinks of me? You remember I said this morning in the lesson, if you don't give God your all, he will have nothing to do with you. And that is so true. And I would rather have a friend have nothing to do with me than God, by all means. The Christian would rather have Jesus than all the popularity in the world because it's not going to take you very far. Jesus gives friendship that never ends. You and I can't do that. Your greatest friend on earth can't do that. Only God can do that. He tells us in John 15, verse 14 and 15, he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus was looking for a friend when he came to this earth. People who would love him, people who would understand him, people who would follow him. And he returned that friendship to those people. It's like Paul said in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, if he's our friend, who can be against us? What can anyone do to us if we have a friend like God? Yeah, I'd rather have Jesus than popularity. And then I'd rather have Jesus than sin and all of its consequences. You know, if the man who lives a sinful life, sin is his friend. He will cherish it. He will nourish it. He will follow it to the grave. And that's exactly what he's done. He's followed it to the grave. And that's as far as sin will take you. The consequences of sin, however, will take you farther. It will take you into eternity against God. I don't have to tell you that sin is very alluring, because it never comes up to you and says, I am sin. Look at me. Love me. Want me because I'm sin. It's not going to do that. It's always going to present itself as something that you want. Something that is appealing. Something that is alluring. Something that you think you just have to have in life. And nothing could be better than what you want in life. Sin offers pleasure. But let me tell you what sin doesn't do. When sin comes to you, and he's come to all of us, and tries to entrap you, tries to lure you into it, it does not tell you the result of it. Now, when the serpent faced Eve in the Garden of Eden, oh, he made that fruit look so good. It was pleasing to the eye. It was something that looked like it would taste good. And then when he told her that it could make her wise like God, that was it. She had to have it. It was just too much to bear. He didn't have to say anything else. And he didn't say anything else. He did not tell her that there would be consequences involved. Did Satan know about consequences of sin when he faced Eve on that day? Absolutely. He was living a consequence of sin because he had been thrown out of heaven when he rebelled against God. There are consequences to sin. The Bible teaches that the consequences of sin are horrible. Number one, because it separates us from God, as it did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel simply says, the soul who sins shall die. You know, I could stop right there. I wouldn't need to say anything else to know I don't want any part of this. I don't want something that's going to kill me. Sin can kill you physically. Sin will kill you spiritually. And we need to know that. And Paul echoes this statement with a simple statement of his own. The wages of sin is death. And there's never an exclusion to that. It is always death. It always will be death for every mortal that has walked this earth. And it doesn't matter who you are, how smart you think you are, how young you are, how intelligent you are. That's the result of sin, death. And it may not happen until you're 90 plus, but it is still death. That's the result. And you can't get around that. And we need to know that. And when we come into the bondage of it, we are bonded. We are bound. And we can't get away from it, it seems. Jesus gave us a warning in John 8, verse 34. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. In other words, there is no freedom. Jesus, however, does provide a deliverance for us from it. He provides the truth, which can set us free. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus says, I can overcome sin. I can overcome Satan. And you can overcome it, but only through me. And Paul echoes these thoughts in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." And that's a whole different story. Oh yes, I'd rather have Jesus than sin. Sin takes you down a road to which there is no happy ending. There is never a happy ending. So, as Christians, we would rather have Jesus than the wealth that we accumulate. We should rather have Jesus than being the most popular person on earth. Even the most popular person on earth does not keep that stance very long. Someone else will take it over. Someone else will become more popular than them. It doesn't last. Talk to the Hollywood clan. They'll tell you, "I used to be number one. I used to be the greatest on the silver screen. I used to be the greatest on TV. Someone else came along who looked a little better, acted a little better, was a little smarter, and was better at their job, and I'm nothing." And they'll tell you that. It doesn't last. And oh yeah, I'd much rather have Jesus than sin and its consequences. Because as I say, it never, never gives you a happy ending. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you'd rather have Jesus, you can. You can have him if you will obey him. And if you are a Christian and you've gone back into the world, you know that Jesus is the better choice. You have just got to make up your mind to want him again, more so than you want what is out there that cannot last, that cannot give, that cannot sustain. I would rather have Jesus. I hope that you would too. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.